Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 20. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We are at the point where we are just like the just man named Lot, who was in the city of Sodom and beholding every day the wickedness of his generation. You can hardly go to stores today without being assaulted by things that defy the sensibilities. There are unscrupulous people who are everywhere. The word scruples means there's no conscience anymore. People have no conscience anymore. So all of this unscrupulous behavior is being done. People are acting like it doesn't matter because they don't think it does. They don't have any conscience anymore. And subsequently, it's getting worse by degrees every day. It's compounding, okay? And so subsequently, you and I are being assaulted. So we go out, we got to deal with the world. But we also have to deal with the devil. He's deceiving. He's whispering in your ear. And then thirdly, we have the flesh. The flesh. You've got your own worst enemy right inside your own bosom. Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, man, that I do. He says, that's Paul now. He says, I struggle every single day with me. Don't you? We have our own worst enemy. It's sort of like having an outbreak of arson across the town, and it comes to find out that it was the fire chief who was doing the arson or something. You'd say, well, nobody would have ever looked there. Listen, you've got the world, the flesh, and the devil arrayed against you. Well, God's taking care now of the world. When he wipes out Babylon and all of its influences, he takes out now the devil, who's the deceiver. And you say, well, what about all those other demons? Okay, devil's taken out of the equation. Maybe it didn't occur to you, but what about them? Well, that's in chapter 18 and verse 2, I believe it is, where the Bible says that Babylon has fallen and has become the hold of every foul spirit. So all of those smoking cities that are going to be littering the landscape, after all the cities of the earth fall, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a prison for all the foul spirits. It's kind of interesting to think about, because if you're walking along, journeying, like the little rascals, you remember the little rascals vignette? They'd have a little stick and they'd have a little bag on their shoulder, right? They're just kind of cruising along, taking a nice walk. Well, they'd look over and see the smoke. They'd say, we don't want to go near there. Why? Because that's where all the demons are being held. Okay, you say, well, that's weird. What, demons there? Hold on, there's a lot more cool stuff in this passage that will kind of blow our hair back. The Bible says that the devil's going to be not able to deceive the nations anymore for 1,000 years until those 1,000 years are fulfilled, and then he will be loosed for a little season. Think about that, loosed for a little season. This is where you cue the ominous music. What? He's going to get out of there? Well, what these three verses show us is it shows us the binding of Satan. It's going to be done by an angel because God would not dignify the devil with his own presence having done this. He did it to the false prophet and the Antichrist, but he sends an angel to do this. Verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. Now stop there. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. The Bible tells us very clearly that we are going to rule and reign with Christ. Now, the funny thing about this is that some people think, well, I've been a marginal Christian, and, you know, I've never really put anything into my faith. Am I going to get to rule and reign with Christ? Well, there's a conditional phrase in regard to this. The Bible says, if we suffer with Christ, we will reign with Him. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be in a place where somebody's coming at us with chains and trying to put us in prison or trying to put us to death in martyrdom or anything. You suffer by just withstanding every day. So if you are suffering with Christ, you know what happens when you really, truly put your game face on and you do this thing right? You begin to drill into your Bible because you need insight from the owner's manual of life. You ever heard this? Bible, if you take it as an acrostic, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's, you need that. And as you go through your life, when you're resisting, you will have no greater joy than in a nook with a book. Okay, you want to get to know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you will learn how to make good judgments about the things you face every day. And so we are actually preparing ourselves for the time when we rule and reign. It is 1 Corinthians that tells us that there's coming a time when all of our works are going to be passing through the fire. And it's going to be revealed whether we were real deal Christians or whether we were nominal and lazy Christians. And the Bible says some will be saved yet so as by fire, because all of their works will be burned up because they were wood, hay, and stubble. Maybe they just did what others were watching. They weren't doing things that were on purpose for their king. I don't know how God's going to judge it. I just know some things are wood, hay, and stubble. And when it goes through the fire, it will be lost. But the Bible says even that Christian, he's going to be saved yet so as by fire. Interesting to consider. So don't think you can just kind of squeak by. When I was in high school, I did not do a whole lot of applying myself. I would sometimes coast by. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can get this off my heart so I feel better, okay? My final project for my English class was a paper. Now, I wasn't walking with the Lord at this time. And she said, "Well, Dave, I never got a paper from you." I said, "Well, I handed it in." I didn't really. Sorry. I said, "I handed it in." And she gave me credit for one that she had with no name on it, and I got through. Ain't going to be any of that with Jesus, okay? He knows you didn't hand it in. He knows you didn't send it in. He knows you didn't engage. He knows you didn't try. He knows you didn't do anything. Now, we're not saved by our works. But our works will bring some suffering. If we're doing some good, something's going to come against that. First of all, the devil's going to come against it if you're just doing good for Jesus' sake. The devil's going to harass you. He's going to try to keep you from going out the door. Just the little things. But the flesh is going to say, "I'm too tired, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, oh, what would they think?" And you're going to stand out. What I'm saying is, there's going to be people on thrones, and I want you to be one of them. So you have to make up your mind as a child of God. You're going to engage and do it God's way, because there's a cool day coming that you're going to be able to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus. That is what is being affirmed to us in verse 4. "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them." You see how that's just basically said? "I saw thrones and they sat upon them." Who's they? That's us. Okay? If we know the Lord Jesus and we're engaged in our Christian walk, we could be like Lot. We behold the wickedness and we're tormented. The Bible says he tormented his soul daily. Vexed is the word, but it means torment. You know, you're tormented if you have your eyes in your head. You can't go look at this world and say, "Well, that's okay, and that's okay, and that's okay, and there's no judgment here." We have to make sound judgments. If we don't make sound judgments, when our kids come to us and say, "Is this right or is this wrong?" Don't tell them, "Well, I don't know." Tell them, "The Word of God says that's wrong, and that's right, and this is wrong, and that's right." We need to make good judgments. The Bible, in fact, calls you to do so. It says in John chapter 7, "Judge ye righteous judgment." That's what you're supposed to be doing. And so when he says that there are somebody sitting there, it's "they sat thereon." That's the believers. The "they" would probably beckon back to chapter 19 where it says the armies came with it. It also talked about those arrayed in white, fine linen and all that. That was the church, the bride, the wife and all that, and the marriage supper. It says, "And they sat upon them." So you get a picture of who's on those thrones. It says, "I saw thrones and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned." So not only are we sitting on those thrones, but also there is going to be judgment given to the tribulation saints. Tribulation is now coming to a conclusion. At the conclusion of the seven-year tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the Bible says Jesus is going to come back on a white horse with the armies in heaven, and there's going to be a setting up of a kingdom. And it's in fact in chapter 12 of the book of Daniel that the Bible tells us very deliberately that when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up a kingdom, and it's going to take a deliberate amount of time for him to set this kingdom up. Verse 11 of chapter 12 in the book of Daniel says this, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, follow me. We've seen it over and over again. 42 months, 1,260 days. 42 months, 1,260 days. A time, times, and half a time. It's all 3.5 years. Half of the tribulation. And he says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, on the 1,290 days. This is a timetable. So 1,260 days, Jesus comes back. But that abomination that makes desolate is set up inside of the temple after the devil has sat there. He gets up and leaves. They bring an image and move it in. In 1290 days, Jesus is going to walk over there and he's going to cast that baby out and cleanse the temple. 30 days after, he comes again at 1260 days. This is cool stuff. Then it says in Daniel chapter 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. See that? That's another 45 days on top of the 1,290 days. Jesus comes back in 1,260 days. He cleans the temple on the 1,290 days. And in 1,335 days, there's going to be the establishment of the government. This is very precise because God is deliberately telling us that there is a timetable when those judgments will in fact come. The Bible says in chapter 20 and verse 4 at the end, it says that those that were beheaded lived, they were beheaded, but they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So these are people who are tribulational saints who don't make it through alive. They've been martyred. They're now resurrected. They're renewed, they're restored, and subsequently they're placed alongside of all the saints before that are ruling and reigning. Now, we're not talking about ruling and reigning just in Jerusalem. This is ruling the entire world. Okay, the entire world now is a brand new start to a brand new regime, and there's going to be a multitude of people who are going to populate that brand new world. Verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not again, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, the contrast of the first resurrection is not the second resurrection. It's the second death. Because you have no reference to the second resurrection. But you do have, at the end of this chapter, a second death. So what he's telling us here is he says the 1,000 years is going to be before them, but they've been resurrected. Now, some people do not die during the tribulation. These are live human beings who are going to go into the millennial kingdom. Verse 5 says, this is the first resurrection. Now, let me give you a quick primer on the first resurrection. You see, during the time of the church age, we saw only a quick glimpse of what was to be. It was on the day that Jesus died, and there was a great earthquake, and the rocks were rent. And the Bible says a few days later that there were some of the saints of old that had raised up and walked into the city. It's in the book of Luke. And it's just like it's a handful of people. What's that all about? And of course, we know Jesus, a couple days later, he rose from the dead, right? We're getting ready to celebrate Easter. He rose from the dead. So you got Jesus rising from the dead, and you got a handful, because the Bible had a feast called first fruits. And then the first fruits, they would say at the beginning of a harvest, they would bring out a handful of grain from their harvest efforts that are before them. Okay? It's before them. Okay, they're at the beginning, the first day where they're starting to cut down all the good grain and do the harvest. But they stop. They start, they stop, they take a handful, and they go over to the priest, and they offer a offering called the offering of the first fruits. Now, that handful of people who rose up with Jesus, that's the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits. Which what that was a thank you for the promised coming harvest of the entire field. So that was the first fruits. That was a couple people resurrected. At the end of the harvest, there was the ingathering of it all. And that was what was promised in this feast. But it's a picture of when Jesus comes and raises up everybody who has been born again. Now, when the rapture happens, that's what we might call stage one of the first resurrection. Because the Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together and we will be with the Lord forever. Now that means that there's going to be a resurrection right there. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him and meet the Lord in the air. That is first stage. Then you have the time of Jacob's trouble. And then at the end of the 7 years, there's another resurrection. And it's right here. This is the first resurrection.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.